Just some housekeeping before we start our second panel. Just to let you know, dinner tonight is at 6 o'clock, and it's going to be here. So after the conference, we'll have dinner, nice nutritious food at 6 o'clock. Our next speaker is David Sparling, who is chair of the Agri-Food Innovation and Regulation group at the Richard Evi School of Business. David?
Okay, great. Thanks. Good morning, everybody. It's really encouraging for me to see how far the discussion has moved in the last couple of years. And if we think about food and health, if we don't make it a business reality, it isn't going to become a social reality. And so that's sort of the angle that I want to talk about. And we are talking a little bit today about the example of the challenge of salt. But actually, a lot of my things are more broad. Essentially, if we think about food innovation, it has been driven by economics in the past. And firms look for market opportunities, and they use those opportunities to sort of capitalize on better new products, more efficient processes, and so on. And so that's what's really driven most of food innovation in the past. Regulation has basically served to constrain that and to constrain what companies can do, claim, and so on. If we think about how, and I try and always, images help me sort of think about where we are and where we're trying to get to. You can think about food innovation on a couple different dimensions. On the one, you can think about private benefits versus public benefits. On the other scale, you can think about things done at a single organization level all the way up to the entire society. And so most of the activity we've seen in the past and some of the things that we're seeing today are really between individual firms and markets. And that's where companies play. Governments tend to play up at the other end. And create policies around nutrition, healthcare, and so on. And there hasn't been a lot of interaction between those two ends over the last, well, there hasn't been a lot of interaction between those two ends is probably a more accurate statement. They also manage the regulatory system to make sure that they constrain this. We have a number of players who also have a very significant influence on how this whole system works and how we perceive what's happening and so on. That's the media and the NGOs. And they have sort of, they can be at different levels, but they have agendas of their own, and they also influence the other players in this whole thing. More recently, especially as we think about things like salt, we think about things like trans fats, we're really seeing industry action and firms realizing that they can't do everything by themselves, governments realizing that they actually have to interact and change the activities of an entire industry. And so we're seeing a lot more of this industries moving to respond to new challenges as opposed to individual firms responding to new challenges. One of the things that we're trying to think about as we move ahead is agriculture and food policy tends to play down in this area. And health and government policy tends to play up at the other area. If we keep those two separate, we're probably not going to capitalize on the synergies and the opportunities to really improve both food and nutrition impacts to our society. And so we really want to see food policy move up into more of the nutrition and health policy and regulations start to acknowledge more what's happening down here and what some of the opportunities are. The talks this morning have been fantastic in terms of setting up what I think we really want to be talking about, because they show that it is possible for firms to work with NGOs, to work with public organizations, and really go further than they could ever do by themselves and do things that those organizations actually want to accomplish, and help, sort of working together. So that's been an important step. It's been easier to work with NGOs than it has been to work with public agencies. That's, I think our firms have definitely figured that one out. And so the relationship between governments and firms are really just starting to come together. It doesn't matter what problem you talk about today. If you talk about energy, you talk about the environment, you talk about food security, you talk about obesity, all of those issues are too big for any single group to solve by themselves. And so we need to have completely different approaches to how we address problems in the future. And those have to be comprehensive solutions, and they have to be inclusive. They have to bring everybody from consumers right through to manufacturers, all the way back to food producers to do this. They also have to make sense. And so for consumers, we've heard the Campbell example, which is you can move consumers along a certain distance at a time, and you can keep moving them. If you move them all the way to the end goal, right in one step, your product will die, and your consumers won't adopt it. So they won't be impressed. And that, of course, means that your business will no longer be financially viable. And I want to come back to that point. All of this has to make business sense. Food is delivered by companies. And if companies can't do it in a way that makes sense to them as organizations, we're not going to get where we want to be. They aren't going to do it. They can't. Their shareholders won't allow them to. So we also, from governments and society and NGOs, we have to sort of achieve the broad goals that we're looking for. So salt's an interesting challenge, and we've talked a little bit about it today. We love it as consumers. Health advocates hate it. Governments bear all the costs when we get sick, at least in Canada, not so much in the States, although that may change. And food companies have this challenge. We don't want to be labeled as poisoning everybody with whatever nutrients or you know whatever we've got into our products. And so how do we actually cope with this? How do we make change in a way that makes good business sense? And if we look at some of the things from a food company perspective, this just happens to be one media article was out in the National Post not very long ago. How to reduce your salt intake, avoid processed foods. If I was Campbell's, this would not be the thing I would particularly like to see. And so I think as a food company, you have to address that. Eat more low-sodium foods. Okay, maybe we're working on that, so we can do that. Eat more fruits and vegetables. That's good, and all those sorts of things. So here's media helping instruct consumers in how they can change their buying patterns to actually affect their nutrition. So we've got this big challenge, and we have to think about, okay, how are we going to act, and what are the tools that we have available at our disposal? Research, as a lot of universities here, there's a lot we can contribute to this, both from a research around the nutrition side, the health impacts, but also the economics of actually making this work. And how can we make this make good business sense? Education is critical, and you can see that spans. Sometimes education can really be a private benefit and can help companies, and sometimes it's basically a public benefit. But it's critical. Regulation is one tool that we can use. And all the things around policy, providing incentives and so on, those are policy options. Ultimately, though, products have to be, if they're talking about processed food, the products have to be changed if we're trying to make major impacts. And that tends to be a single organization. If you take these away and companies focus only on reformulation, they aren't going to be successful. If we focus entirely on education but don't change the products, we're not going to be successful. If we try and regulate and use a big stick, that can actually drive innovation because you have no choice. Doesn't tend to work that well. It's a really big hammer. And with respect to salt, the Canadian government has determined this isn't an approach that they're going to take. They think it's too difficult, too confusing, and so recently they said, we don't really think regulation's the solution. And research will only move us so far. So obviously we need to have all of these elements and all the players. So no single group has a solution. Science is clear, we need to change. But our challenge is to answer the questions, what can we achieve collectively that we can't do alone? What are the first steps? And that's one of the things we want to focus on at this workshop is what kind of steps can we take collectively that can make a difference, and who needs to be involved and how can they be involved. Our obviously goal here is to create a model that we can use, and if we take SALT as a first step, we can use this model and then apply it in other areas to actually make, you know, significant changes over the long run. And with that, I actually finished on time. So I'd like to thank you very much.
Thank you, David.